All right, I'd like to call the meeting to order, please. If you'd all rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance, remove your caps.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. For the record, this is Camden, New Hampshire, Zoning Board of Adjustment, September 28, 2021. To my left is Judith Zott, I'm Bob Petron, Boyd Shivers, Ron Howe, and alternate sitting in, Tony Steinmetz. Lisa Galicia is the recording secretary this evening. We've got a full agenda tonight. Lisa, if you'd be so kind to start us off with the first case, please.
Case 21-007, applicant Roland and Sherry Grimard, 178 Deerfield Road, Candia, New Hampshire, 03034. Owners Roland A. and Sherry M. Grimard and trustees of Grimard Family Revocable Trust, 178 Deerfield Road, Candia, New Hampshire, 03034. And Peter D. Foti and Laura L. Short, 184 Deerfield Road, Candia, New Hampshire, 03034. Property location, Deerfield Road, Candia, New Hampshire, 03034. Map 406, Lot 69 and 71. For a variance under Article 2, Section 2.02E5, General Provisions, Nonconforming Uses and Structures. Use of nonconforming lot and for a variance under Article 6, Section 6.02, Dimensional Requirements, Table of Dimensional Requirements, Minimum Setbacks and Dimensions, Maximum Heights Allowed. Intent, to correct past encroachments, abutter lot line disputes, and due to health and safety concerns that have arisen with their property's septic system, failures along with the state requirements for repairs, the owner's request to reduce the size of the nonconforming lot 71, approximately existing 1.139 acres by 0.089 acres to a proposed non-conforming lot of approximately 1.050 acres and increase the size of the non-conforming lot 69, approximately existing 0.728 acres by 0.089 acres to a proposed non-conforming lot of approximately 0.817 acres.
Very good. Thank you, Lisa. Are the applicants present this evening?
Yes.
Thank you. And any abutters here wishing to speak, or the public will have an opportunity at sometime during the proceedings. If you'd be so kind, would you approach the table and tell us what the situation is, please? Make yourself at home. It's very informal. Please come on up.
All right, well, I think Jason's going to cover most of this here.
What's your name, sir, for the record?
My name is Jason Franklin. I work for Franklin Associates. We prepared the plans for this.
Thank you.
If it's comfortable, you can bring up chairs.
That's all right. We don't expect it's going to take too long, right?
Well, I have no idea. This is my first zoning board meeting, so we'll see how it goes.
Okay.
No, I think this is pretty straightforward. So Lisa summarized it pretty well. Basically, you guys have copies of all those?
Okay.
If this is it, sir, we do.
We have a small copy.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, so basically we're adjusting the lot lines between Peter and Laura Foti and the Grimards. Basically, they need to replace their leach field, and their current existing leach field is on the Foti's property. So what we're going to do is adjust the lot lines that match current occupation lines and to give them enough room to put the leach field in.
Excellent. Can we slide that forward here? I'm interested to see where the existing
leach
field is.
So the existing, this is the Foti's here.
Yep.
And this is Roland and Sherry Gamard's property here. The current lot line is this dash line here.
All right.
And right here, Roland and Sherry have two parcels. Their existing system is right about in this area here. And they have a septic tank right there. So what we're going to do, we can adjust the lot line here. Eliminate these two, so the Foti's new line would pretty much come up and around like that. And then the replacement field is going to be somewhere up in this area here with the tank going to be replaced and put there.
Okay. This yep. lot does not change dimension?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. Yep. Yep.
So the area inside the dotted lines goes with, is the new area that's being transferred?
This is the current lot line.
Yes, this dash is the current.
So the area between here and here, this area is the area that's being transferred over.
This area, that's parcel A, this area right in
yes.
through here, that's the area that's going to be transferred.
Oh, that's the only area.
Correct.
Okay.
This parcel, lot 69 is made up of two tracks, lot 1 and lot 2. or track one and track two. We're basically just going to eliminate.
Okay.
Yep. In that way, because the system's right in the air.
Okay.
The existing one.
And that's historic, huh? That's been.
Oh, there. These deeds go back to 1800s. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Very. Yeah. Very small. There is. Quite a.
So now they'll put it together and say, "It's not right. Let's fix it."
Correct.
So okay. The septic tank is right.
The existing tank is right off the corner of the deck here now. So
and the leach field goes which way?
So the existing leach field is running right up in here now. We are proposing to replace the leach field over here, but we want to leave the tank in that position, and we cannot do that on the Fodi's property.
So it'll be on the Grimard property?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, all the components will now be on the Grimard property.
And well heads are within the tolerance as well?
Correct. There's an existing well over here for the Sherry and Roland. The Fodi's well is somewhere over in here.
Right in the center.
Yeah, and then Greg's is somewhere
in the corner.
Up in there, in the corner, yep. Okay. Yep. So great. we have to move the field back a little bit to make sure we're outside all the setback areas.
All right. Any questions or comments from the board? Is there any questions or comments from the attending public tonight on this proposed lot line adjustment? All right. Well, if there is no question or comment, we're going to close it to the public. I'm going to go through the criteria. For the, variance for non-conforming, correct?
Is that correct? But just a variance.
All right, close to the public, and if would be so kind, we'll go through the criteria and vote on them individually.
Section 1402, powers, variance, section C, the Board of Adjustment shall hear and decide requests for variances from the terms of this ordinance. No variance may be granted unless all the following criteria are met. Number one, the variance will not be contrary to the public interest. I agree with that.
Petron, aye.
Zott, aye.
Stamets, aye.
Howe, aye.
Number two, the spirit of the ordinance is observed. Chivers, aye.
Petron, aye.
Zott, aye.
Stamets, aye.
Howe, aye.
Number three, substantial justice is done. Chivers, aye.
Petron, aye.
Zott, aye.
Stamets, aye.
Howe, aye.
And number four, the value of the surrounding properties will not be diminished. Chivers, aye.
Petron, aye.
Zott, aye.
Stamets, aye.
Howe, aye.
And lastly, the little enforcement of provisions of the ordinance would result in unnecessary hardship. Chivers, aye. Well,
this has to happen. Petron, aye.
Zott, aye.
Stamets, aye.
Howe, aye.
With that in mind, may I make a motion?
I'd entertain a motion, please.
I move we grant the variance for this lot 406, lot 6971. From section 202E5 of the ordinance.
We have to include both lots in that, I believe. Is that correct?
They're both on the application. What do you think, Lisa?
Yes, I included both of them because this will go with the land going forward.
It'll be on both tax cards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that would also be a motion is also to include Article 602.
Okay. Duly noted. Second on that?
I'll second it.
Second by Judith. All in favor? Petron, aye.
Howe, aye.
Chivers, aye.
Stamets, aye.
Zott, aye.
All right.
Did you vote on? Or you know?
I did. I did vote aye.
Did we did list both properties, correct?
Yes, we established okay. That.
Both lots, right. Yeah.
Lisa, that's a unanimous vote for aye. Your request has been granted, and you'll receive a notice of decision. And good luck with the project. Thanks for coming in with that proposal.
All right, thank you.
All right, thank you.
All right, thanks. I didn't recognize you.
Oh, it's the glasses.
Yeah.
I'm dressed up a little bit more than I usually am in the field, so.
Thanks again.
All right, thank you.
Good evening. All right, Lisa, good job on that one. Second case, please.
Case 21-008, applicant Scott and Ann Nerney, 284 High Street, Kennedy, New Hampshire, 03034. Owner Scott R. and Helen Ann Nerney, 284 High Street, Kennedy, New Hampshire, 03034. Property location, same, map 405, lot 14-3. For a special exception under Article 5, Section 5.02A2, Table of Use Regulations, type of land use, residential. Intent to allow the construction of a 610 square foot accessory dwelling unit within an existing space in our home.
Beautiful, thank you. Are the applicants present this evening? Any abutters here that wish to speak on this? You'll have an opportunity later on in the proceedings. Why don't you approach the table and tell us what you're thinking about this ADU?
Well, essentially, during COVID, we realized our house got really small with mm-hmm. all of us working from home and our kids home from school. So we did an addition, and then our 18-year-old son decided he wasn't ready for college. So we did it in the spirit of giving him his own area, you know, a little independence, you know, because he didn't want to go to the four-year college thing. So sure. he's taking online courses. And so this particular area, we decided to make like a little studio apartment for him, his own entrance and exit and a little kitchen area. So he can be a little independent, but still at home. So that's the intended use of it. You know, we're not charging him rent. We just wanted to give him his own spot to exist right. with his bathroom and a little, as I said, a little kitchen area.
Yep, and it's all part of it. This is part of the existing structure. It's not yep. new construction?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's all new construction.
Oh, it's new construction.
Yes, yeah, the addition is.
It's within the construction that has already been approved.
Oh, okay,
so
that's right.
So they've already been doing this construction for their addition.
Okay.
And now with that full kitchen, it's yep. changed from just yeah. sure. lounge area.
Now it's the formality of having an
right.
ADU.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let's see what we've got here. We're coming in at 608 square feet, is that
yeah.
correct?
Yeah.
It says 610 on the application, but it works out to 608. They rounded it up.
Okay, rounding up is okay in this case, I would say, huh? 1.2 square
that.
Feet?
Yeah.
All right.
That was me.
And I don't see parking here. Do you have appropriate parking?
We do. There's actually a garage underneath. We have a two-car garage that was with the existing mm-hmm. house, but there's actually a single-car garage underneath his dwelling.
Okay.
Under the addition.
And what about the septic system? That'll handle that?
Yeah. It's still a three-bedroom house.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
I commend you on the set of plans.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
They're quite detailed, aren't they?
Okay.
Yep.
Good.
So, yeah, but the number of bedrooms hasn't changed at all.
And it's under 750 square feet. You have adequate parking and septic.
Yep.
Okay.
Stairwell inside.
Mm-hmm.
Question, so the bonus room is a bedroom?
Will be a bed, yes.
Yes.
And will the stove and sink and everything be in the bonus room?
It is part of it. Yep, it's a little jog off the side.
That's in this corner here.
Over here?
Yes. Correct.
It says,
yeah, right
it
next
says
to the bathroom.
Bar.
Oh, it says wet
bar.
Yeah. I thought that was a wet bar.
Sure.
Yeah.
yeah.
All right. All right. Once you've got a sink, you
what's
got to get
right here?
That's his deck.
Stone
made it.
Stone
made
it.
Yeah, that's
true. You have a deck and everything.
He has a deck, yeah. It's, yeah, and you can only access it through his room, so that's like a little short deck.
We might want to move in.
Yeah, oh, yeah. He's never leaving. He's
the hot tub goes in.
No.
If he leaves, call me. I'm right down the street.
Yeah, okay.
So is there any question or comments from the attending public? All right. And we'll take this opportunity to close it to the public. And,
I just want to ask a question. I was just looking at this. This says this is a second floor plan. Mm-hmm. So this is open. This is a cathedral ceiling. So
correct.
It's not open to the second floor at all.
Or it joins our house on the second floor. So you can.
It is the second floor.
It is the second floor.
It is part of our second floor.
There's a garage area underneath that.
Underneath. So this is actually on the second floor.
It
yes.
is. Yeah.
Okay. So the garage is up and then it's not underground.
No.
Okay. It's on the first.
I
the garage is on the
okay,
first.
Okay. So you put a two-story addition on and this is... All right.
Yep.
That was my only question.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Tony, do you have something else?
No, I'm good.
Thanks. All right. Well, yeah. We'll close it to the public. If you want to go through the criteria, boy, we'll see what happens.
Section 1502, special exception standards. Special exception shall meet the following standards. Number one, no hazard to the public or adjacent property on account of potential fire explosions or release of toxic materials. Shiner's eye.
Intron eye.
Zot eye.
Stimer's
eye. Owl eye.
Number two, no detriment to property value in the vicinity or change in the neighborhood on account of the location and scale of the buildings and other structures. Shiner's eye.
Intron eye.
Zot eye.
Stimer's eye.
Owl eye.
Number three, no creation of a traffic safety hazard or substantial increase in the level of traffic congestion in the vicinity. Shiner's eye.
Petron eye.
Zot eye.
Hammett's eye.
Owl eye.
Number four, no excessive demand on municipal services, including but not limited to water, sewer, waste disposal, police, and fire. Schools. Shiner's eye.
Petron eye.
Zot eye.
Steinmetz, aye.
Howe, aye.
And lastly, number five, no significant increase in stormwater runoff onto adjacent property or streets. Shivers, aye.
Petron, aye.
Zant, aye.
Steinmetz, aye.
Howe, aye.
We accept the motion, Mr. Chairman.
I would entertain a motion, please.
I move we grant the special exception to Mr. and Mrs. Nierney for this lot under section 1502 of the ordinance.
Is there a second to that, please?
I'll second it.
Seconded by Judith. All in favor? Petron, aye.
Zant, aye.
Steinmetz, aye.
All right.
That's section 502A of the ordinance.
You have that note there, Lisa?
Which one?
The last one was he wanted to annotate.
Yeah, the variance is under 502.
502, yep.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. You've been granted that request and you'll receive a notice of decision in the mail. Good okay. luck with the project. Perfect. Thanks for coming
Thank
in.
Thank you so much. All right. Have a good night. Case number 21-009. Applicant James Schenkel, 370 Chester Road, Candy, New Hampshire, 03034. Owner James and Renee Schenkel, 370 Chester Road, Candy, New Hampshire, 03034. Property location same. Map 414, lot 80, for a special exception under Article 5, Section 5.02E2, Table of Use Regulations, type of land use, public and institutional. To allow the establishment of a cemetery on their residential property for private burials.
Very good, thank you. And is the applicant here? Thank you. And any butters who wish to speak will have an opportunity during the proceedings. Thank you. Mr. Schenkel, would you come on up and tell us what you're thinking, please? There is a map here.
Yeah. So basically it's a family plot is what it would be for. It wouldn't be like we're selling off plots or anything like that. This is a piece of property we worked our whole life for, and it's going to be in the family forever. So okay. It's for, you know, family. It's, you know, well within the setbacks. We measured everything out. We actually went from the wall. We didn't even go from the boundary, so we have additional footage. So that's
okay.
Pretty much all I get to say.
Is there going to be a licensed funeral director handling those arrangements?
Yep, everything's okay. lined up and ready to go.
And is that funeral director handling the vault and all the details of the burial?
Yep.
Okay. And what about a state permit? Have you done anything in that direction?
No.
Okay, it's my understanding that it's a state permitting that's going to allow for the burial. We can allow for a special exception saying, yes, from the Candia standpoint, we would grant or not grant this. Okay. But the state may you'll have an opportunity.
Sorry, I just wanted
thank
to
you. Yeah. And you weren't aware of such a thing?
No, I wasn't.
Well, we have the RSA right here.
If you contact the state of New Hampshire, there's no such permitting process through the state.
No, I don't think there is.
I contacted the funeral parlor and he says that there is.
Oh,
and
really?
They have to put in the permit and Miguel Brewitt, that's the funeral parlor.
Yeah.
They'll be doing that. They'll be taking care of all of that.
Okay.
Okay.
That's what I
mentioned. Okay. Yeah, I looked in it also with Cemetery Commission and was told the same thing. The reason of these recordings is because not only does the state have to know, but the town has to know who's buried and where.
Yeah.
Whether it's Holbrook Cemetery or a private cemetery, there needs to be a record saying there is there's a burial plot there.
Yeah.
Whether there's one okay. or six or whatever the quantity is.
Okay.
There needs to be a record of that. So somehow that actually does come to the cemetery okay. commission in Candia,
okay.
and they keep a separate record of that.
I think, Mr. Schenkel, you have to contact the trustees of the cemetery and, get permission or notify them.
I think that goes all with the permitting. And if Brewitt's handling the permitting, that should connect
okay.
the dots.
Okay. All right. And because I did reach out.
So your first step is here to get a variance from to allow a cemetery in a residential district. And once you satisfy that,
yeah.
and then Brewitt will take care of the permit with the state,
yeah.
and it's done. Then.
Okay.
Is that right?
Do they also contact the town officials? Does the state?
Yeah.
So I know I was reading through all the regulations, the state regulations
yeah,
for cemeteries.
Brewitt's been very helpful with it.
So. Yeah.
What he'll do is he'll take care of the process. What he told me is they'll take care of all the permitting, and then usually if it's a town cemetery, they take all that information and they forward it over to the
okay.
sexton. In this case, it's private, so it'll actually come to the town hall.
Okay.
I'll be copied on that. The sexton will be copied on that.
And that goes to the town clerk, yes?
Yes.
Okay.
The town clerk will be, they'll get that directly. And then we're going to copy the chair for the cemetery so that they have that.
And that's McFarland, is that correct?
So really?
Martin McFarland is the sexton.
Yep.
And then Beth Chalbeck is the chair for cemetery, and I've talked to briefly her, and I talked to Mark about it as well.
Okay.
So they know everything's coming.
All right.
So is this the last this permit or approval you'll need from the town of Candy right here, or for any from any state or government agency?
That's my understanding. That once we grant this on this end,
okay,
then the licensed funeral director handles all the other details.
Excellent.
Thanks for laying out that case for us. I'm going to open it up to the public.
I got a couple of questions.
Sure, if you don't mind. Yes.
Yeah. Do you intend to limit this to the one burial? Or is it going to become a family? It's a family plot, but we only within that area. We figured for 12 to 14 plots, but you know, who knows if.
Okay.
I won't be around when that thing's full, that's for sure.
67 by 107, is that correct?
No, that's how far away it is from the
24 by 28, it's 600.
Oh, the actual proposed plot.
Right.
24 by 28.
For the burials with a 4-foot buffer for fencing and vegetation, because eventually we're going to have to make sure there's an easement on it, so.
Okay, yeah, so you wouldn't be limited to the number you can go on there.
So, is there something in there, in your deed and so on, that says there's a limit to 10 plots or whatever? I'm trying to get a handle on how far this could go.
Yeah, I think I can answer that, Ron. The allowed room is, and don't quote me on the number, but it's a very specific number. It's like 42 inches by 10 feet per burial plot, and that's apparently the size of a concrete vault.
Yeah.
So if you wanted to do the math, you could figure out how many units you could put in there. Now, these are whole body units as opposed to a cremation, which you can scatter the ashes. Now all this becomes a moot point.
Right. Right.
So there is, you could do the formula and find out, you know, there's room for a dozen in here or eight or 15, whatever it is.
Okay. So do we
that's
have...
Right. But the next thing is, further to your question, is my understanding is it does not have to be recorded on the tax card now. Of course it will be because we're granting something.
Yeah.
But at time of sale, because someday that property may sell, it has to be annotated on the tax card that there is now a burial site with a right-of-way granted in perpetuity to survivorship, so people can visit that. Well, it doesn't give them free range to the property. It just says, you're allowed to come on the property.
Yeah.
Subsequent owners will have to allow you that right-of-way.
Yeah.
Okay.
In my understanding, that happens at transfer of deed, but that doesn't matter because at time of sale, they'll go to the tax card, and that'll be noted on the tax card that there's a family burial
condition.
But that has to be in your property deed, because if it's not in your property deed, then any time anyone in your family wish to go on that property, there's a specific procedure that they have to follow, that they have to write a letter to the selectman, ask the selectman to get permission, then the selectman have to contact the owners, and the owners have to give permission, and you have to say, we're gonna go specifically at this time, and we're gonna do this specifically, and so it's much better if you put that, you make sure that is in your deed, that you have the rights in perpetuity to pass and repass, and if you know, put other graves or whatever you.
Right. Yeah, I'm going to make sure all bases are covered.
So. Okay.
Yeah. Yes. All right. You just want to protect your rights.
Yeah. Are there any other comments from the board?
I just have one question, Jim. What is this dimension here? How far is that setback? I can't.
Oh, you got better glasses than me?
No, I don't.
This is 107 here, and it's 121 here.
Thank you.
From the
okay.
rock wall.
All right. Thank you.
All right. All right. Then if you don't mind standing down, we'll entertain comments or questions from the attending public. If you'd be so kind to state your name for the record, please.
Yep. Karen Reese, 351 Chester Road. Sorry again for your loss. I just had some questions about how this is laid out and what the process is. And thank you for asking some of those questions already. You answered them. How does this happen when you have access, when you sell the property? Who has access to the land, and thank you for getting through all that. I have a couple concerns that I wanted to just ask. What defines a special exception in the zoning board ordinances? So this can be granted by special exception. Right. What is the special exception?
It's any, any variance from the zoning ordinance that must meet the criteria in section 1502.
Which is?
For example, that last case we had for the accessory dwelling unit, you can have that, but it's gotta be a special exception to the zoning ordinance. A cemetery is a special exception to the zoning ordinance.
It's not a normal use.
Okay, right, exactly, exactly. So there's, it's not a, okay, I understand what you're saying.
It's not a permitted use, but it is permitted by special exception.
Right, okay, so there's not a definition of what a special exception is.
Right.
Okay.
Yes, there is, Karen. It's listed in the ordinance under, there, in, it says, let me find exactly, but it'll tell you that certain things are allowed, where they're allowed, and if they're allowed by right, if they are not allowed, in which case we granted a variance for something that was not allowed, or if something is allowed by special exception, and then you have to follow the rules of a special exception.
Right.
And so we have specific
so
rules that they have to meet in order to in order to do that. But it's listed in here that they're allowed. And then the state says that if the town, they're allowed and you have to follow the town rules, but if the town does not have any rules about private cemeteries, then you have to go back, it reverts back to the state regulations.
The next question I have is, what is the proposed site of, I don't know if I can ask that, or you?
Yeah, there is a map here, would you like to see?
Yes. Please.
Here it is. This right here is Chester Road.
Okay.
All right, and you are right, where's Rios?
Right there.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
So right
okay,
on this
so
corner.
It's right there.
And as he mentioned, he didn't go for the property line. He just went from the stone walls to make sure he had sufficient setbacks.
Okay. So that is, that's what I kind of have here.
Okay.
That's the marking that I have. You can see there's some, I just want to make sure that this is going to be okay. So this is the proposed site. Mm-hmm. These are the cones where it's already been excavated. There's a PVC pipe underneath, and I'm not sure what that's for. And the PVC pipe has drainage. Is that something that...
I'll tell you what happened when they dug the hole for the grave. It started to fill up with water, and Dylan O'Connor back there dug a drainage and a perimeter drain around that, so there's no water in the grave.
We
dug it down to hard pan, which is about 8 feet deep.
Okay, okay. Who's that?
And then we filled it up with stone to make sure the area doesn't... Because there is a slight water on the hard pan in between the clay.
Mm-hmm.
So we just made it so it would drain out, and then went, I don't want the damn things popping out of the ground over time. So
well, yeah.
So,
which is the correct way of doing it.
Yes, exactly.
So we provided sufficient drainage for this site.
Mm-hmm.
There's 2 feet of drainage all the way out.
Right.
So where it drains.
And for the existing plot. Yeah.
Where does it drain to? So it drains to this little drain.
Right to my tree line.
Which goes under this culvert, which then comes on my property. So is that a what? It's just water.
There's no water coming out of it.
Water.
No,
it's just water.
Just water.
I don't know what a burial plot looks like, so I just want to make sure.
Is a concrete box where they place a casket in.
Yeah.
And then it's sealed. The moment the lid touches that vault bottom, it seals. So nothing can get in. Nothing can seep out.
Yes.
Okay.
That's not a requirement either, but.
I wanted to make sure I was understanding that correctly.
Yep.
Just because the DES, Department of Human Services, has regulations that say, you know, you have to make sure you have the appropriate soil and the drainage and all those things, because obviously
if this
is coming right across on my property line, which it is, and it ends up, and here's the watershed that goes right down that way. So here's the plot. It goes under the culvert and then goes right down this way.
Yep.
But how far is it from the water? Is there any standing water around there?
No.
There were regulations about it has to be so far from standing water
And
so far from houses,
other
houses and everything.
Yeah, I think it's pretty good with the houses and the setbacks, like you had said. I just I wanted to make sure that the drainage was sufficient. Our wellhead is kind of right there, right pretty next to it, but if that's not going to be...
It's not a seepage issue.
Okay.
I
don't understand, and I want to make sure I do.
It was filled in with 3 feet of gravel,
okay.
So it's just to keep the water from not saturating.
So that when you set a vault, the vault is not floating in the water.
Yeah, and it doesn't, it doesn't bob out. The actual depth now is at 5 feet, which is what they require.
And keep in mind that this is all state approved.
Yes, so okay, well that makes me feel better when you discuss that, that it's state approved. They have to come in and approve the depth and the soil and condition and all that stuff. So that made me feel better.
You're not getting any more water property on your property now than you did 2 weeks ago or two years ago. It's the same water table, it's the same.
Yeah, I just want to make sure it's not contaminated when it comes down.
Everything's the same.
Yeah, right.
That vaulting is real. Okay. It's a one-piece vault with a lid, so making it two-piece, but.
Okay, what's that? Okay, sorry. Yeah, again, I'm sorry for your loss, and having this discussion is weird, but thank you for that. Okay, so that was that question and special exceptions, and you answered my question about the Health and Human Services stuff, and so thank you for that. I had lots of questions.
There's more?
No, well, my husband wanted me to just read something that he had, and you answered the questions about the number of vaults that can be there based on the size.
We didn't have a number for you, only that there was a calculation available.
Right, 42 by 10 is appropriate.
Yeah, roughly 42 or 46 or something.
Number 14 is if they were side by side in perfect structure.
14.
So realistically, it would only ever be 12.
12.
If it was a perfect world, which it's not,
yeah.
By the dimensions, it allows for 14.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Why can I ask why that spot was chosen? Was there other options?
Because that is where his wife loved to be.
Oh, she did.
She loved that field, loved that whole area.
Spot.
That's where all her heirloom plants are planted.
Okay.
And that was her request many years before this unfortunate accident happened, was to be buried on the property. Because they had worked their entire lives for this property, and this was their end-all home.
Right, yes. Yeah, I can appreciate that for sure. I just, again, there's 20 acres, and I'm like, oh.
It's just 22 acres.
Right, exactly.
The rest of it's woods.
Yes, it is. Okay, so, I don't really want to read this, but you've answered my questions, but I told him I'd read it, so I will read it.
I'll
need
a copy of that if you're going to read it. Oh,
can I just give it to you and you can put it on the record?
Sure.
Oh, that's even better. Thanks.
So you don't want to read it?
No.
So we'll just enter that into the record?
Just add it to the record, yeah.
It's okay. I don't need to...
That's fine. I'll just add it to... It'll be an attachment to the minutes online.
Okay. Maybe I should read it just because I crossed stuff out. Sorry. I'm like, oh, I don't know if you'll be able to interpret that writing.
That's fine.
Okay, sorry again. Paul Reese, 351 Chester Road. I'm a person who always has been about live and let live with my neighbors, but I feel I need to speak out about a few things about this request. He says this will impact my family in a negative way. The resale value of my home will go down where it is when they know there's a cemetery right across the street. Are my taxes going down to go down? Probably not.
No,
I know all that. The site is very close to the road and my driveway. Every time I leave my home, I will have to look at the cemetery. And I didn't buy my land and build my home to live next to a cemetery. I also have a few questions. One, the landowner is responsible for the upkeep of this cemetery. Who audits it, if anyone, to make sure it's being taken care of? If it is not, will it affect my resale value again? Why is there a 4-foot PVC pipe running from the already dug hole down to the watershed? But we've asked this, that exits right before it runs into a culvert running under the road and straight down to within 10 feet of my well. I'm very concerned of contamination, but we spoke of this. That's enough. That's good. That's plenty. Paul Reese. Mm-hmm.
We'll enter into the record.
That whole letter is going to go online.
Can it just be everything I just read you?
Nope.
I need to take that. Sorry.
All right.
Yay.
So scribble out.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, oh. All right. That's just the last part. I just want to. I told him I would, so I did. There you go. Okay, that's all I have. Thank you very much again.
Thank you for getting involved.
I apologize.
Is there any other questions or comments?
Yeah, I'd just like to comment that I'm not interested in compounding this tragedy with a hassle. Mm-hmm. Okay? They're meeting all the requirements under the state law. They're meeting the Kilkenny Zoning Ordinance clearly gives the authority to issue a special exception, and I think we have a duty to do so.
All right, Mr. Chivers, duly noted. If there's no other questions from the attending public or the board, we'll close it to the public.
I do have a question.
Go ahead, Ron.
Is your intent to have a flat ground stone or a, a stone of some height?
There will be a granite border around it with fencing and, appropriate fencing, not chain link or anything.
Are you talking about a stone that's 3 feet high and highly visible from the road, or is it something that you drive by and you're not even going to see, which I think would alleviate some of your concern?
Everybody flies down that road, so nobody's ever even going to see.
That's true. I realize that.
The actual site of it's 225 feet from the road. 125 feet from the road. No, the site to the actual edge of the tar is 225, and that's where Renee is now.
It is?
If you measure through the culvert onto the state property to the tar.
Okay.
To where Renee's
and there's
stone would actually be.
There's a tree line and there's just barely enough room to...
But I will actually be building the steel fence that will surround this. It'll be matched with granite. And that will break up any visuals from what you'll see inside there.
Okay, thank you.
I think the thing is, though, when you think of New England and you drive down the roads in New England, you often see little family cemeteries and there are stones. Headstones and things in the cemeteries, and I don't think, to me, that's a usual thing in New England to see these things, because that's what families did, and they bury people on their property, and there are headstones there,
so it's not going to be visible. Yeah.
I don't think it matters what the stone looks like. I think it's in, it's up to them, and people see this all the time, so I don't. I guess it's not something that we have any purview over anyway, but comment, it's New England, and you drive down roads in the middle of the woods, and there's nothing around, but there's this little tiny family cemetery where...
It's his property. He could erect a stone pile 30 feet high if he wanted.
Yeah. Well, and he's allowed by right to have the thing if we, as long as he meets the regulations.
Okay. Once again, for the record, it goes to the public. Oh, I'm sorry. Mrs. Sanborn wants to speak. Is that correct?
Yes.
Go ahead.
I haven't had an awful lot of time to think about this. I wish my husband were alive to help me. My name's Elizabeth Sanborn. We live on Sanborn Farm, which is just up the road from where this tragedy took place. I'm thinking in my mind of how, I don't know if any of you are familiar with the Briggs Farm over in Deerfield.
Right.
They have a lovely cemetery there. It's a family cemetery. In fact, they just recently buried a family member there. It's been very well kept up. I would hope, I don't know these people, I don't know the whole situation, but I would certainly like to have something in our neighborhood that would look...
I'm sorry.
That would not look... disgusting. I think our neighborhood is a nice neighborhood. It has been many generations of our family. I believe our great-grandchildren that are going to school here in Canada now will be the seventh generation to have gone to school here in Canada, and we love Canada. And I love my view looking out my picture window across our field. I would hate to have that destroyed.
Okay.
That's all that I have to say.
Thank you, and it's on the record. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Schenkel?
I'd just like to make a comment. I bought the house 4 years ago, and I've done nothing but make improvements to this property. And if I put this cemetery in, and my wife's in it, and I don't fucking take care of it, I'm going to be haunted over it. So it'll probably be the cleanest thing on the freaking property, I can tell you that.
Okay. Mr. Hall?
Yes.
Alhart, Alhart Adams Road. Following what
Betty
Sam had said, is there some way you can say, okay, we'll do this, providing there's no headstones higher than 2 feet? Because I think of the Bean Island Road, the cemeteries, some of them 3, 4, 5 feet. Is there a regulation that you can okay this, providing this? I mean, I'm thinking a generation from now, you know, and I agree with the gentleman requesting, however,
conditions, would you like to see conditions? Is that
yes.
What you're trying to say?
That's okay, you know.
Al, I think that the type of stone that someone puts on that cemetery is a personal choice, and maybe Mr. Schenkel will put something that you might like and I might not like, but that's not our choice. And if somebody wants to put up a large monument, you go by cemeteries and all the stones are fairly regular, and then you see something else. But it's their feeling in their heart when that it's the way that they honor this person that they loved. And if that's what is in their heart, then who are we to say, well, I'm sorry, but you can only do this for that person. It's a terrible feeling when you have to make these choices about someone that you loved and cared for, and to know that someone that you don't know is saying, has made some regulation that says, well, you can do this, but you can't do this. It's a personal choice, and I don't think it's the purview of this board or anyone to say, you can do this, but you can't do that.
Yeah.
I think we have to go on, and you can't even say it's their good judgment. It's what they feel in their heart at the time and what they want to do for this, how they want to honor this person that they loved and cared for. And it's personal, and I don't think it's anything that any of us should be thinking about what making that choice for someone else.
I think that Mr. Sanborn's concern about the visual aspect should be considered as well.
Okay.
It's on private property with a wooded tree line. And it's nothing that she is ever going to look out her picture window and see. It's nothing that any abutting neighbors are going to look out their picture window and see.
All right. Okay, we recognize your concerns. They are on the record. Jerizad has appropriately explained that. And if there is no further comment, Mr. Schenkel's got another comment before I close it to the public.
I'd like to just say my wife's headstone is about 2 feet tall. Nobody's headstone is going to be bigger than hers. She's a... You know, and I don't know if
any of you
bought a headstone lately. They ain't freaking cheap.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Moving on, barring any more comments from the attending public, I will close it to the public. Any other questions, comments from the board? If you'd be so kind, Boyd, to read through the criteria.
Yeah, the criteria, special exception standards in section 1502 of the ordinance. Special exceptions shall meet the following standards. We went through this for the first hearing. Number one, no hazard to the public or adjacent property on account of potential fire explosion. Shivers, aye.
Petron, aye.
Zott, aye.
Snavis, aye.
Howe, aye.
No detriment to property values in the vicinity or change in the neighborhood on account of the location or scale of the buildings and other structures, parking, access, odor, smoke, gas, dust, or other noise, glare, heat, vibration, or outdoor storage of equipment, vehicles, or other materials. Shivers, aye.
Petron, aye.
Zott, aye.
How
aye.
No creation of a safety hazard or substantial increase in the level of traffic. Chivers aye.
Petron aye.
Zott aye.
Hammond aye.
No excessive no excessive demand on municipal services. Chivers aye.
Petron aye.
Zott aye.
Hammond aye.
How aye.
And lastly, number five, no significant increase in stormwater runoff onto adjacent properties or streets. We've covered that. Shivers, aye.
Beatron, aye.
Zod, aye.
Simon's aye.
Howe, aye.
With that in mind, Mr. Chairman, may I make a motion?
I would entertain a motion, please.
I move we grant a special exception to Mr. Shankle for lot 414, lot 20, to permit a private burial site, and a special exception under section 502E of the ordinance.
Is there a second on that, please?
I'll second.
Seconded by Tony Steinmetz. Beatron, aye.
Zod, aye.
Simon's aye.
Shivers, aye.
Howe, aye.
All right. There's a unanimous decision. You'll receive notice of decision. And this will be linked to your tax card for future reference. All right? Sorry for your loss.
Yeah.
Good luck moving forward.
Thank you. Thank all right. you all very
Thank
much
you.
For your time.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Old business. Meeting, ZBA meeting time change. It's the second meeting to entertain discussion. I had brought this up previously, only that we would entertain a time change, perhaps from 7 o'clock to 6:30. There wasn't anybody opposed, but we did question why we were talking about it. There's not a need to change. So if we don't want to change the time, we don't have to. We can vote on it right now and say, let's just kill this and stay at 7 o'clock.
That would be my motion. Yeah. I think all the other meetings in this town occur at 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock.
Okay. Well, I don't think we need a motion because it's only discussion. Is that correct?
Yes, if we don't. Well, we don't approve it.
Right.
We have to approve it. The thing is, I don't have any, you know me, I'm always the latest one, and I don't have a problem with coming at 6:30 if people want to come at 6:30. I don't
either, but I'm not opposed to 7.
Okay. Well, I'm not opposed to 7 either. I'm not opposed to 6:30 either.
Okay.
So.
Then, do we move to keep it at 7?
Well, it's business. It's just what we've been doing.
Okay, so there's no change, so there's no motion.
I don't see a reason to change it.
Okay.
Well, but we've discussed it. I think we need to clean it up. We've discussed it.
It's, there is a reason.
She's got to move to Candia.
I can't afford you guys. I've been living in one of your guys' houses in the ADU.
All right.
Tony, did you have something?
No. Okay, then we dispense with that bit of old business and we get on to approval of minutes of 7:27.
Are we going to say just say that we're going to vote to keep it the same way?
No, because
I think we should.
Yeah,
because we
just to tie it up.
Because we've discussed this twice. Yeah. And under our rules, we have to change
then
it.
Then make a motion then.
I'll make a motion that we leave it at that we leave our meeting time at 7 o'clock.
Is there a second on that? I'll second by Shivers. Aye, Petron.
Aye, Zod.
Shivers.
Aye, Simon.
Aye,
Al. All right.
It's clean.
We stay at 7 o'clock and we discussed it and found out
it's
this
cleaner.
Is for the better good.
Yeah, part of the bylaws.
Okay. Approval of minutes. I did go over the minutes and I would make a motion to accept the minutes of July 27th, 2021 as presented. Is there a second to that, please?
Yeah, I'll second that.
Seconded by Boyd Shivers. All in favor, Petron, aye.
Zod, aye.
Simon's aye.
Shivers, aye.
Howe, aye.
All right, then we've approved the minutes of 7:27, Lisa. Is there anything else we need to discuss? Tony, thanks for filling in tonight for Mark.
Yep. Yeah.
If there's no other discussions to be had, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Seconded by
Boyd Shivers.
By Shivers. All in favor, Petron, aye.
Shivers, aye.
Zod, aye.
Simon's aye.
Howe, aye.
All right. Adjourned.
Good job.
7:50.